Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. We've read all the books, we've bought all the courses, we've tried all the tactics, all in search of some mythical secret to growth and scaling that always seems to let us down whenever we find it. So now I invite you to take a completely different path with me, and it's definitely not risk-free. Might be a little bit scary sometimes, but it's this path that has forged one winner after another. And if you've made it here on the show today, we're going to spend the next 15 minutes demonstrating how to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ, the smart choice for hiring remote international talent so you can leverage your business with experienced virtual assistants. We recruit, train, and manage VAs to fill critical roles in your business so that you can stay focused on innovation and growth. Our VAs typically help you recover 50 hours a month and 2x profits fast. You can also save up to 70% versus hiring locally. To learn more, you can go to vaiq.net. Once again, that's vaiq.net. Today's guest is Mitchell Osmond, and Mitchell is a leadership advisor, podcast host, and founder of The Dad Nation. With a background in executive leadership and a personal story of transformation, he helps high achievers bring intentionality and alignment into their health, mindset, and relationships. His podcast is rated top 10% globally, reaches over 34,000 monthly listeners, and has created signature programs empower individuals to thrive, grow, thrive both at work and at home. Mitchell's work is rooted in emotional fitness, purpose-driven leadership, and building a life that reflects what matters most. Mitchell, welcome to the show. Quick question for you. What is one thing that you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Hey Josh, thanks for having me, man. That's I appreciate being here. And I've been thinking about that question, and I think one thing that I do very well is help take the intangible things about relationships, emotional intelligence, things that high performing couples wrestle with, and distill them into simple concepts and frameworks that we can use to apply to our not just our businesses, but in our personal, like not just a professional, but our personal lives as well. And so I'm a firm believer that you can win both at work and at home. And that's what I do. I talk a lot about that. And so distilling those concepts into tactical strategies that men can implement immediately to see success at home, just like they do at work, I think is one thing I spend a lot of time doing.
It's all about this balance. When we go and push too many chips in one direction, it creates an imbalance. And sometimes we need that. And sometimes we need that equilibrium. And can you talk about when are the times where it's okay to kind of push one way or push the other? And when are the times where you really need that thing to balance out?
I have a complicated relationship with the word balance, because I think a lot of
I can
people
beep it out for you for the censoring.
because I think is a move, it's a moving target, right? What does balance look like this week? Well, that's going to look different than next week and the week after that. It's like your finances. Well, you don't spend the exact same amount of money every single week down to the penny. So how can you treat each single week, each week, identically? Well, you can't, because things come up. And same way with the quality of our relationships as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, and as business leaders. There's going to be seasons where it's hectic and seasons where it's calm. And so I like to go a little bit macro and say, what does it look like? The balance look like over the course of 3 months, 6 months. And, if any of your listeners are in serious relationships or have children, another factor in this is understanding that balance looks different for everybody, because each individual is unique and complex. They get married to another unique and complex person, or have unique and complex children that have different needs. And so balance looks different for me, for my neighbor, for my brother-in-law, And so we
It
always
looks different from you on Tuesday versus you on Sunday.
100%. And then we get confused. And so we make up the system and say, okay, now we got to figure it out. We're going to stick to this. But wait a minute, 7 days from now, this doesn't work. Well, what if, well, now we throw it all out. This is all or nothing mentality. It's like, well, that didn't work, so I'm just going to live in chaos, right? And so the key, I think, Josh, to understand is that Number one is you have to, if you have to have grace and understand that balance looks different at every different season, and balance looks different for every different couple. Balance looks different for every different parent and entrepreneur. And so it's a matter of identifying for you what that looks like. What does success look like for you and for my clients? You know, I walk through a series where I help them identify their success statements, if you will, because we can get caught in this trap of comparing ourselves to the success of others, right?
The gap trap, you say.
The gap trap. Yes, exactly. and I mean, that was based off of, you know, I as I was reading through the book, The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, brilliant book. But this is what it's about, is we could have a gap mindset where we're comparing ourselves to some future ideal that's not tactical, it's not tangible. We don't even know what that looks like. It could be the success of our neighbor, could be the success of our brother-in-law, you know, whatever. The person down the end of the street with the fancy boat. But we don't actually, but that's not our definition of success. And you strive and you're constantly chasing for that carrot on the stick. And that's living in the gap versus living in the gain, which is to not look forward, but to look backward and to say, where have I come from? Right? Well, what have I accomplished this week, this month, this year? And then see where you've come from and then identify your success based on the movement that you've made. And here's why. Because when you look forward, the future, you don't have a crystal ball. At least I don't. I don't know if you do. If you did, you'd probably be able to make a lot of money off of it. But it's like, man, Josh, if me and you were in the ocean and I was like, you know what? When we row to the when we get to the horizon where the sun, where the sky meets the sea, that's when I'm going to be happy. But the problem is the faster you row, the faster the horizon escapes you. So it's this moving target. And the thing is either way, you're going to get into the future, right? Whether you like it or not. The question is what version of you wants to get, what version of you do you want to be there, right? The one who's been striving and stressed out and chasing the success that has been defined by everyone else, by social media, by whatever, or do you want to get there from celebrating every milestone along the way, being content, being fulfilled with all that you've done and the growth that has come from it, right? And so we actually just write our own success statements and go through a filtering process. So for example, I'll know I'm being successful when dot dot dot. I'll know I'm being successful when dot dot dot. And you might write out seven, eight, nine statements, and then you want to print them off, stick them on the wall, whatever, because again, you have to identify what that looks like. And for me, at one point, it was like, I know I'm being successful when I go 7 days without blowing up on my wife, you know? Or I'll know I'm being successful when I can go a month without working and still living on my passive income. You know, but again, it means different things for everybody.
But
So,
there's so much in the way of that to where sometimes, like, I set this goal, this is where I want to get, but there's so much just going to happen on this path there that it maybe doesn't even matter if you get there or not.
exactly, because
There's
chances
a
are. Go
go ahead.
ahead.
I'll say that there's a prose, a little phrase that somebody shared with me one time. There's this Chilean poet. And he said this just like profound stuff. It was in Spanish, but roughly translated, it's basically utopia is on the horizon. I take 2 paces forward, it takes 2 paces away. I take 10 more, it takes 10 more. And so what's the point of utopia? And he said it's just that is the point of utopia. It's to walk the path towards it. You know, like you never get there, but the point is everything that you do on your way. You know, and as you were talking about that, it reminded me of this poem, because that was one of those things that just like hits you. It's like, yeah, go ahead and find your paradise and mark it. Like that's where I'm going. But pay attention to everything around you, because that's what you're going to spend most of your time doing anyway.
Yeah, so good. I love that, man. And you know, I talk a lot about this with guys because, you know, especially, you know, as men, the masculine in our essence is driven by accomplishments, by, you know, a sense of purpose, by excellence, achievements. And that comes largely from our wiring, but also how culture says that we are worth. That's where we find our worth as men, is like what we can provide. You know, the masculine essence is about doing. The feminine essence is about being. And so you don't, society doesn't really judge a woman on how much she produces or how much money she makes or how the career she builds. You know, they find worth in beauty and, you know, all that stuff, right? Motherhood, blah, blah, blah. Men are completely different. And society judges us that way. And we're also wired that way due to our masculine essence. But what happens is we get caught in that hamster wheel. And David Deida, in his book, The Way of the Superior Man, calls it the great masculine error. That one day, that every man believes that one day it's going to get easy. One day we're going to be able to sit on the beach and sip our margarita. It's all going to be good. One day I'm going to fully understand my wife. One day I'm just going to get my diet on track. One day I'm going to make that, you know, $10 million or whatever. And the problem is going back to this, and this is where the gap trap is, right? We're constantly waiting for it to be easy, constantly. And we're waiting for easy around every corner we turn, and then we get disappointed. And so, you know, I'll often say this on different podcasts I'm on or with my clients. It's like the reality we have to understand is everything. And you may have seen this in different, you know, memes or posts online, but everything in life is hard, right? Like you think about it, working a 9 to 5, working for someone else is hard, but being an entrepreneur is hard. You know, having a lot of friends is hard. Having no friends is hard. Being rich is hard. Being poor is hard. Being overweight is hard. Being in incredible shape is hard. Having a great marriage is hard. Divorce is also hard. And there's this paradox that we have to face, that like the sooner we can accept that there is always going to be challenge, there is always going to be adversity. And maybe that's the point, that life is not actually designed to be easy. You know, the sooner we can accept that, the sooner we can experience complete contentment, because you're not looking for easy around every corner and constantly disappointed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, I love diving deep on this specific topic, because a lot of times, I'll say, you know, me as a man, I don't know if it's because I'm a man or because I'm a logical guy or whatever, but I'm always looking for the concrete answers. And one of the things I love about bringing somebody on that says, well, there's 17 different ways to solve this problem, is you're right. It gets us out of that concrete mode, because we all tend to think like, okay, this is the way that it's done, man. But in reality, there's lots of different ways that it can be done. And there's no one right or wrong way. Back to your problem with the word balance. What does the way even mean? You know, it means something different. You know, what does balance mean? It means different. And so I'm definitely tracking with that. And so my question to you as a follow-up, and something that I know you like to talk about a lot, is we have to go deep on a lot of things. We have to really understand, what are we trying to accomplish? What does it take to get there? And a lot of that we spend on superficial connections and our world, and we don't go deep enough on those to make them meaningful for us. So, like, outside of your husband or wife or whoever your significant other is, just all of the relationships, we tend to just kind of skirt by because people let us. Mm-hmm. But when we're able to dive deeper and make those real connections, I think you call it the soul connection, is what I saw in your notes. How do we get there? And why do we need to go deeper and beyond the surface in some situations?
Yeah, you know, and I use that in the context a lot of, you know, between couples and relationships. But then also the same thing could be applied in workplace, in the workplace, in, you know, in employees, relationships with your employees, your staff, or your children, you know. But I think that the challenging piece is, it's like you said, it's so easy to just be on the surface level, right? It's so easy to just, I mean, I was in a, I'm doing a challenge right now with the men in my community, and that we were talking a lot about the art of conversation and how we're losing, you know, the art of conversation because of, you know, a lot of different reasons. And we were talking about the
AI,
context.
Texting. Yeah.
You think about it. And in the context we were talking about was date night. And one of the men was like, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, conversation just falls flat because when we don't, when we don't have another question to ask, we just pull out our phones and we just sit around, you know, sit out at a restaurant and we're on our phones. I was like, well, that's because you're choosing an out, right? And that's the easy route. And so what happens when you choose that out over and over and over again, well, that now becomes the thing you do. And so you never go to a deeper layer, right? And so, you know, one of the in that context, you know, for example, in the US today, you know, we know that up to, well, 70% of the divorces in the United States are initiated by the women in the relationship, which is significant. You know, but when a wife is a higher earner or has a high education, that number jumps to 90%. And so 9 out of every 10 is significant. And so a lot of men don't necessarily understand why. And so when we dig even deeper, 80% of the time, the reason cited for the divorce is a lack of emotional connection, a lack of connecting through conversation. We feel like roommates, we feel like robots sharing a mortgage. Right. And so this is why we talk about this, because we're all craving belonging. We're all craving a deeper connection. But yet people often aren't comfortable asking some of those questions. Right. So, for example, whether it's you talking to your kids or whether it's you talking to your partner or whatever. And so it could be instead of saying, hey, how was your day? You could say, hey, what was the highlight or the low light? You know, what was the highlight of your day? What was the low light of your day? Right. Well, that forces your kid or your partner to scan through the day.
Say something that wasn't fine.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know. I don't remember.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I had this conversation with my colleague and we went for lunch and we laughed and he told me or she told me about this thing. Great. Cool. What was the low light? Well, my boss said this and then I got frustrated and he wanted me to do this proposal. It's like, oh, you know, and then the next question after that often is like when they share the low light is, and how, so how can I support you in that, right? How can I help you in that? Is there anything I can do, right? So now you've got 3 questions. You went from how was your day? Good. Dead end question, dead end answer, right? How was school? Good. How'd you sleep? Good. How are you? Good. Right? And now all of a sudden you've got a three question sequence, and you've got a full blown conversation where they're sharing pockets of joy with you. They're actually scanning their day looking for moments of joy or laughter, which you're actually helping them cultivate that skill of gratitude and finding joy. You're also telling them subconsciously, I care about your day. I'm invested in your day because my questions are specific, but they're also giving you more feedback, which allows you to jump onto and thread into and have more conversation. And then the last question of like, how can I support you? And that says, hey, I'm here for you as your partner, as your employer, as your, you know, parent. I'm here to support you any way I can. And so it says I'm invested in you, right? So that's just a very simple, like simple framework of questions that can just take that conversation just a little bit deeper. Does that make sense?
It's great, man. And it reminds me, first of all, I love the formula because you could just follow the same formula in almost any conversation with in any kind of relationship, really.
Yeah.
And my go-to is whenever I meet somebody new, I especially like at a networking event or something, I try to avoid saying, "What do you do?"
Yeah.
Because now you're defined by whatever role you play in your job or something. Like, how boring can that be? And what I usually do is I just say, "Hey, tell me something good." And sometimes people are like, and like you can see them like just short circuiting, you know. And then sometimes they're like, "Oh, something good." And then they like look up to the right and they're like, "Oh, yeah." And they tell me something good, you know, or they'll just say, "Ah, it's great to be alive." Fine, I'll take it. You know, at least you're responding. At least you're saying something good.
Well, and they'll remember you because of it. Like you said, man, that one guy asked me that one different question. Because you think about it like this, especially in the context of men. What is the first question we ask all the time when we meet somebody after we exchange names from man to man?
Aside from how you doing?
Yeah.
I would say, what do you do?
What do you do? What do you do? Right.
What do you
Going
do?
back to our,
Not
this
who are
is
you, but what do you
exactly.
do?
Yeah. Not how are you, how you feeling, or what's something good, and what are you loving about your life right now? Because remember, societal norms, right? We are judged in society by what we do, what we provide, you know, all the what we're building, all those different things. And so that's why men, especially man to man, that is universally the second question we ask every single time. You ask a room of 5,000 men that everyone will get it. And but the problem with that is we all live in that box, and so you begin to blend in, and you ask the same questions, whether it's with in a networking environment or whether it's at home or whether it's with your kids. And it's like, well, yeah, if you ask the same questions every single day, you're going to get the same dead answer or dead end responses. And what's going to happen is you start to kind of drift. You know, I believe it was David White, who's a poet and a philosopher. He said, the conversation is the relationship in every situation. And so, you know, I would say if you want to know the quality of your relationship, whatever it is, specific, especially your marriage or your relationship with your kids, if you want to look at the quality of your relationship, look at the quality of your conversations. Because if you have dead end conversations, you are going to have a dead end relationship. If there is no relation, if there is no conversation, there is no relationship, right? And
That's right.
but so we don't necessarily consciously think about that, and we continue to ask the same questions over and over again, and then we wonder why we're so checked out and bored, and we're like spending our time on our phone and doom scrolling, because at least there's something interesting, air
Yeah,
quoting,
right.
right?
So, Mitchell, tell us a little bit about what you do, who you serve, and how we can connect.
Yeah, so I help high performing men reclaim their home, their health, and their happiness. That's the three things. And so when I say your home, I'm talking your key relationships, you know, getting more connection with your wife, your you know, your children. And your health, we talk a lot. I help a lot of guys with, you know, a lot of busy professionals, maybe add, you know, gain a little bit of weight, feeling a little bit chunky or whatever, right? Get their health in order. And then the happiness piece is really about mindset, you know, how to eliminate self-limiting beliefs, the imposter syndrome. You know, we dig into, you know, all kinds of stuff, how to 10X your productivity, how to unlock new levels in your overall mindset. And so those are the men, those are the people I serve, you know, like career driven men who want to lead at home as powerfully as they do at work. And yeah, you can find me just, if you just look up Dad Nation Co on Instagram, or you just search Dad Nation on the old interwebs, you'll see my face plastered everywhere. But that's what I help, and who I help. And I tell people all the time, I do three things. I've got, content, and then I got courses, and I got coaching. So the content is the Instagram, is the free resources, you know, the courses is just the curriculum that I have that you know you can purchase, and then the coaching is the one-to-one or group coaching. But yeah, man, that's what I do all day, is I help other men, you know, level up in at home, at work, all those different areas. Because I believe it was Ed Milet, I heard him say this a little while ago, and I'm sure other people said it as well, but you're the most qualified to help the person you used to be. And I didn't get into my story on the show, but I come from a lot of trauma, abuse, crime, you know, all that stuff, and alcoholism, and so completely turned my life around. But I help now men who really want to get to that next level. So it's a little bit about me, man.
Very good. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks to our guest, Mitchell Osman, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he leverages everything. For those of you who want to connect directly with him, you can learn more by going on to the old interwebs and searching for Dad Nation. Hey, once again, if you want to leverage your time, energy, and resources to the max, manage remote talent is your answer. Learn how to save up to 70% on your next hire by going to vaiq.net. Until next time, remember this: if you want to win, you gotta push your chips in. It's time to leverage everything.